Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've already spoken so clearly this morning. We thank you that you are here. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you always come. We just honor your presence and we say thank you. May we never take it for granted that the King of the universe would come into our midst and come and speak to us, come and pursue us. And we open our hearts and our minds this morning, Father. I thank you, Father, that mindsets will be broken this morning, old mindsets, Lord. I pray for hearts. I speak to hearts to be awakened, Lord, to your visions, to your dreams, Lord, for our lives, Lord. I pray, God, that we would see afresh, God, how you want your kingdom to come and how we can partner with you in our lives, in our daily lives, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to turn to Matthew 14 if you have your Bible. If not, it is on the slides behind me. I quite liked my... don't you like that thing? I thought that was cool, eh? I didn't do it. I just found it on the internet. But I thought that is the God of the impossible. You put an elephant on a rope. I can't even stay on a rope. Richard had a nightmare last week. And he woke up in the middle of the night. I said, what's wrong? And he said he had a nightmare. And I said, what was the nightmare? And he said, I was walking on a washing line. And he tried to get me down. And I said, no, it's quite easy. You just need to know how to do this. And this poor man had a nightmare of me trying to do this. Probably, hopefully I'm not too big an elephant. But that was a nightmare to him. So we're going to go to Matthew 14, verse 22. And I'm going to read the story. Most of you know the story. Pretty much all of you know the story. But I'm going to read it anyway. It's one of my favorites. It's Jesus walking on the water. It starts there, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. This is after he fed the 5,000. He's now fed them. They are exhausted. He tells his disciples, you get in the boat, and he goes and prays, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous and he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. It's one of those stories that I can't wait until we get to heaven to see the replay of Jesus walking on water. And I was just so stirred. God has been speaking to me actually before the Pastor's Summit, but the Pastor's Summit, the theme for this year was... dreaming with God, dreaming with God for your church, for your city, for your town, dreaming outside of the walls of the church. But God has been speaking to me probably the last month or so, asking me, Jolene, what are your dreams? And to be honest, the first time somebody asked me, said, what are your dreams? What are you dreaming about? And I'm thinking, at this stage, I'm just raising kids, doing church, kind of. And how quickly we fall into this trap of just being an adult and living life and doing the daily things. And yet Jesus comes to the scene and he says, because I'm a God of the impossible, you are required to dream big. Because I am a God of the impossible, you are required to dream big. And this is what happened here, this story. And so this week at the Pastor Summit in Hermanus, it was a different, every year is different. But this year was especially different. They had speakers from outside, so it was almost like a conference. Previous years, they didn't have that. They had other pastors, normal pastors, pastors of Shofar share, but this year they had external people. They had Titch Smith from Live Village, who started Live Village in Natal, the orphanage. He came and he shared his story. He's older now, but he just shared the journey of starting this village out of nothing. It is incredible hearing the stories that we had. Dominie Dirkie van der Spy there. He came and he shared about what happened at the Dutch Reformed Church in Moraletta Park in Pretoria and his journey of being filled with the Spirit, not knowing what to do with this in a Dutch Reformed Church. It was incredible. There was another Pastor Jay, they call him, from Umtata in the Eastern Cape, sharing their story of joining the church in 1994, starting with 35 people. Now on a Sunday, there are 3,500 people attending. So it was everybody just bringing and sharing their stories. And we were so stirred and encouraged and inspired and almost also a little bit like, wow, God, that is big. But you just realize, as you hear the story, these are ordinary men and women of God. It's not some weird, you know, now they're older and they tell the story, but once upon a time, they were me and you. Me and you trying to desperately hear the voice of God and saying, okay, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but you need somebody to step out of the boat. I'll do it. You know, I've got two hands. I've got two feet. You need a person. I can be your person. I loved so much this Titch Smith. He said he got saved. He was apparently some famous cricket player, maybe for those of you who know. And he got saved, and he came from a life of bad alcohol addiction and gambling. He lost quite a bit of money. But he got into the church, and he started going to church on Sunday, and he worked at Sunlam at the time, and then small group on Wednesday. And after a couple of years of this, he was like, Lord, is this it? He said he was so bored in church. He was like, God, there's got to be more. And then God started speaking to him and giving him vision and helping him to dream what can happen when you partner with a God of the impossible, a supernatural God, the God that we serve. And now today they are, I mean, the amount of children, orphans that they're reaching, and some of their kids that started growing up in the village have now gone to university. Orphan kids that would have been nowhere are now in universities. I'm not going to try and quote his stats or his numbers, but it is just so inspiring when an ordinary person partners with a God of the universe. And a God who says the impossible is possible, not because I make it possible, but because my world, impossible is possible. That's how it is. I'm a God of the supernatural. So we're going to go through this story. And there were just a couple of things that I felt to highlight. Verse 25 is the first one. You see, the disciples, when they're in the boat, we know that it's stormy, the waves are big, it is just a scary situation for them. And I'm just so encouraged by Jesus who went to them. You know, very often we think Jesus is out there and Jesus is not in my storm. But the heart of the Father is to say, I'm coming to you. In your life, in your storm, wherever it is that you are doing life. You know, God is pursuing us much more than we are pursuing Him. Do you know that? That we think I chose Jesus. No. No, He pursued me. He pursued me. He put a target on my back. He pursued me. And I feel for some of us, God is saying, you are so busy with your everyday life, but Jesus is right there. He's coming to you. He's pursuing you. For somebody, that's a word for your children. You're so worried about them. And God is saying much more than you want them saved and healed and whatever. God is pursuing them as well. Jesus went to them. And we see there that while Jesus went to them, verse 26, the disciples were really very afraid. And they cried out for fear. And I love this because you see very often, in our season, in our place of greatest fear, there's this opportunity to partner with God, to do the impossible. But you see, we say, when I'm ready and I feel like I've gathered all the information and I can do the impossible because now I'm stable, I'm not afraid. And look, fear is a bully, right? Fear will tell you, fear is a spirit to start off with, but fear is also a bully. It's an intimidating voice that tells you, who are you to think you can do that? But you know, we often try and say, when I'm not afraid, I will do it. When I've got all my ducks in a row, then I will step out of the boat. Then I will partner with God and dream big and do what He wants me to do. But here we see so clearly it's in the place of fear. While the disciples were extremely afraid, that God is, there's an invitation to partner with Jesus. Do you guys see that? And I feel for some of us that we want to wait until fear is gone. Joyce Meyer, I haven't read the book, but I like the title. She wrote a book saying, Do It Afraid. Hey, I haven't read it, but I thought it's a super cool title. Don't wait until fear is gone before partnering with Jesus and saying, God, what do you want to do through my life? And here we see it. They were in fear. They were freaked out. And from out this place, Jesus then comes and He's trying to calm them down, saying, look, it's not a ghost, it's just me, it's not working, right? Because Peter in verse 26 or 28 there, he says, he's not believing it. He says, Lord, if it is you, then you command me to come on the water to you. So Peter is not buying it, you know. He's not, look, the others are too afraid to talk, or maybe they did talk, it's just not recorded. But Peter is in this place of fear. He's saying, Lord, if it is you, command me to come. But what was interesting, as I was studying the scriptures this week, I realized it wasn't Jesus' plan for Peter to walk on water. Do you see that? Whose plan was it? It was Peter's plan. Jesus never said, you can walk on water. Do you know that? Come, let me show you. He didn't do that. It was Peter's plan. So now you can say, you know, very often we say, Lord, what is your will for my life? And we should ask the Lord what His will is. But very often we say, we think it's all scripted. On the 8th of October, Jolene will preach at this church, and this is what's going to happen. And so many people will respond. And then she will have a fight with the dog, and then the kids will want more food. And, you know, God doesn't do that. Why? Because He didn't create machines. He didn't create us as robots. He created human beings and He said, come, let me partner with you. Let me walk with you in the cool of the day was the command to Adam and Eve. He said, you know what, Adam and Eve? You name the animals. And many theologians say that naming of the animals was actually speaking character and their characteristics into them. So Adam and Eve they co-created, co-ruled and reigned with Christ, with God. So God never created us to be robots and live a pre-planned, pre-programmed life. I don't believe that. He says, let me partner with you. Now, does He have an opinion on where your life should go? Absolutely. Do you have a part to play? Absolutely. If my kids come to me, if William or Margaret comes to me and say, Mom, what do you think we should do with our lives? I'm like, my boy, what do you want to do? What is in your heart? I'm not going to tell you this is exactly what you need to do. Why? Because I want you to come alive. I want to see what is God put inside of you. And let me see how we can come around you and set you up and help you to be all that God has created you to be. In the same way, I feel there's an invitation from the Lord. God is saying, come and partner with me. Come and partner with me. There's a place of, and I've often said this, our friendship with God can only go as far as our lordship, acceptance of the lordship of Him has gone. Does that make sense? So if He's not Lord of your life, look, firstly, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all, okay? So once you've gotten that, you need to realize, Jesus said to His disciples, I don't no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. There's a place in our relationship with the Lord where we graduate in a sense, but we never graduate out of servanthood. But you hear what I'm saying? Where Jesus is inviting us into a friendship, saying, what is it that's on your heart? Let's partner together. And I believe this is what happened with Peter here. Jesus didn't say, hey, come try it. It's quite nice walking on water. I know you can do it. He didn't say that. Peter was the one that came up with that idea. And I feel for some of us, and Pastor Mangalisa said it so nicely, for some of us, we're waiting for God to give us the blueprint and to say, this is how I want you to do everything in your life. This is how I want you to impact your world, whether it's school, sport, business, you name it, home, relationships. And God is saying, tell me what is it that you're dreaming of? and let's partner together. So I'm going to carry on to verse 31. You see, it's important to take that step. And for some of us, we're waiting and God is saying, you tell me what you want and I'm going to back you. But then it's very important to hear the come from Jesus. Because you see, what happened here is Peter said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come and I will come. But he didn't go until he heard come. Then Jesus, he said, come to me. And he stepped out of the boat. There comes a time in our dreaming and partnering with God where we've got to hear the come from Jesus. You put in whatever you want to come partner with you. Yes, I'm on that dream. Yes, that is confirmation. Yes, I do want you to go and influence the school or do whatever you need to do. Because you see what's going to happen is, and we see this in verse 31, it says there, immediately after Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught Peter, he started sinking. And Jesus said to him, oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? You see, there's a part where we need to take the step. But then there's also a part in the process where we've got to know that God is saying now, whether it's before you take the step or after you take the step. But at some stage in the beginning, you need to know that this dream is from God. And God is saying, yes, I'm in this. Okay? Now, whether it's the chicken or the egg, it's sometimes, you get what I'm saying. Some of us, God is saying, you need to take the first step and then I'm going to give you the confirmation. For some of you, he's saying, I've already given you the confirmation, now step out. But hearing the word of God, hearing Jesus say, come, is extremely important. Why? Because further down, the storms are going to come and the enemy will come with a doubt. The enemy will come with the famous, he doesn't have new tricks, he's going to come with, did God really say? Did he really say, partner with me in this? Did he really say, your marriage will be restored? Did he really say, go on that missions trip? And that is what Jesus said to Peter here. You see, he speaks to him and he says, oh, you have little faith, but he doesn't actually rebuke him for little faith. Do you see that? He's not upset with him. He says, oh, you've got a little faith, but it's not actually that big a problem. What is the problem? The problem is doubt. The problem is doubt. You see, the quantity of faith is not the problem. We've spoken about this. Remember, I did a sermon on water glasses being filled. Met die ou ros het ons ingegooi. Yes. So the faith, as small as a mustard seed, can move a mountain. That's very little. Now, you've got to have faith, but Jesus never rebuked people for not having a large amount of faith. What did he say? He said, faith mixed with doubt becomes diluted. So if your faith is mixed with doubt, you've got a problem. We don't wait until we have a lot of faith because faith, it evaporates. It feels like it's there one moment and then it's not. But what is important, and that is what Jesus is saying here to Peter, is saying, you've got little faith. It's not that big a deal. It's not a problem. But when it's mixed with doubt, it's a problem. And you see, when you start dreaming with God, when we start partnering with God, when we're saying, God, I'm going to step out of the boat. I'm going to do what you've told me to do. It's risky. If it's in the boat, it's not risky. Stepping out onto the water is risky. So I want to ask you, how comfortable are you with taking risk? Because the kingdom of God is full of taking risk. Full of taking risk with Jesus. But God is saying at some stage, the enemy is going to come with, did God really say? He's going to sow the doubts, the thoughts of, oh my word, I thought this is what God said, but now nothing is working out. All the doors are closing. Did I not hear it? Did I hear it? And then it's important to have the word come. Then it's important that you have the word from the Lord as a handle to hang on to and say, no, the Lord did call us to Franschhoek. He did say we're supposed to lead this church. So even if it's difficult right now, I've got that handle to hang on to. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you, when we partner with God, when we step out of the boat and you're saying, God, I'm going to do what is seemingly crazy, but I feel this is from you. At some stage, you need to get that word of God, because that dream will be challenged. That taking risk will be challenged. And I want to encourage you also to share it with other people. That's not in my notes, but I feel for some of you, you've stepped out of the boat, and we're going to speak about that a little bit as well. You've actually gotten hurt, and there's been disappointment. And you saying, Jolene, that is all good and well. When I was 19 years old, I had dreams of taking the kingdom to everywhere and everything. And when we got married, we had the dream of having the best marriage and the most godly kids. But life happened. And maybe you even got divorced. Maybe the business went under. How can you, it's not logical. I can't step through those mind barriers again. But I feel God is saying this morning, there's an invitation for you to throw the nets to the other side. You know that story, I don't even know where it is, but the story about the fishermen who were fishing all night, the disciples that went fishing all night, remember that? They fished all night and they caught nothing. They get to the shore the next morning. I can just imagine. They've gone all night, not caught the thing. They are trained to be fishermen. Now Jesus is on the shore. He's on the beach and he's saying, just go and throw it to the other side. And they're like, listen, buddy, we've done this all night. I don't know where you were, but I want to go home. I want to go take a shower and I want to go eat breakfast and sleep. I am the fisher. We are the fishermen. You are the rabbi. But they said, at your word, we will go back to the area of disappointment. The area where we thought we were the experts and it didn't work out. But at your word, Jesus, we will go back. And they threw the nets to the other side. And what happened? They couldn't contain. The nets broke. They had to call for their partners to come and help them pull it in. One of the kids asked me where did all the fish come from? It wasn't there all night. And I was like, that's the truth. The difference is when Jesus speaks the word, it's creative. He calls the fish wherever it is. So that's why it's important to hear the word of God. But I feel for some of us, and we're going to pray for you this morning and trust God. For some of you, you're like, this is amazing, and I know God is a God of impossibilities, and I know God wants me to partner with him. But, and there was a word, David shared it in intercession, he saw a picture of somebody that had an operation and still stitches in. And he said, it's sore, it's hurting, it's not healed up yet. And God is saying, just come and tell me, be bold and tell me that it's still sore. Don't try and hide it. Just come and tell me. And I felt that was a word for some of us here. There's an invitation. God is saying, come and dream with me. You know, I wrote down last night, it's amazing. Once you get into the presence of God, you start dreaming other dreams than you thought you would 10 years ago. But I dream about, and I'll share some of it with you. It's vulnerable, but I'll share. I dream about my kids being more on fire for Jesus than I am. I dream about them scaring Richard and me. I told Richard that last night. He's like, oh, no. And I said, I want to hear them coming and saying, Mom, Dad, this is what God is saying we must do. And I want to be, oh, I don't know about that. I dream about people walking into our church, onto our property, into our town, into Franschhoek, and being transformed by the power of the Spirit. I dream about people coming in and having an addiction, leaving church not addicted anymore. That's what I want. I want sick people healed. If they meet one of us in the Pick and Pay, I say, I want to pray for you. That's what I dream about. They be transformed, that this is not a game we're playing and a job we're doing and songs we sing, but that the power of the gospel, the Jesus that walked the earth, the same power that was in him is in us. I dream about a Franschhoek who's filled with the Holy Spirit inspired, filled believers, whether you are at school or in the Pick and Pay or in the hotel, that you come and sleep in this bed, in this hotel, you will come in sleepless and struggling with anxiety and you will walk out delivered of depression and whatever. That's the stuff, you know, I dream about? I dream about growing really old with Richard. I think he will be so small. But I love him. I love him. I want to grow really old. And I know a lot of people say, oh, we're growing gray and wrinkles. And I'm like, you know what? Not everybody's got the privilege to go gray. You know, I want to grow really old, and I want to see people resurrected from the dead, and I want to tell my kids' kids, you know what Opa and Oma saw? Let me tell you this God we serve. Yeah, I want to encourage you. God is saying, let's dream big. Can we change? I cannot do it. I cannot heal nobody. I cannot do it, but I want to dream with God. And yes, it might include for you, it might include having your own home. And yes, I would like that, and that's amazing. But there are other stuff that God is saying, let me awaken your heart to come and dream with me. So we're going to, maybe Mallory, you can jump on the keys. Before we're going to get to praying, has anybody got blue tackies on? Or has a thing for blue tackies, those blue tackies. Anybody else with blue tackies? I just remembered. I felt there might be more than one. Even if you have blue jogging tackies or whatever, draft tackies, what do you call it, at home, there's another hand. So, Tasai. So I felt a word, there's another one at the back. So you all take it. I felt this right now. I forgot about it. Here we are, blue tackies. I felt God saying that the next season will be a season of walking on clouds. You're going to feel like you are dreaming. It's just too good. It's like a dream, but I felt God saying, it's my delight and my favor, and that you are not dreaming. You are walking on the clouds in your new season. So let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God that's saying, come and partner with me. Come and dream impossible dreams, because you are an impossible God. Father, I pray, God, that this morning, right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and awaken. I feel for some of you, there's actually childhood dreams or dreams that you dreamt many years ago, but you got disappointed, and it didn't work out the way you thought it would. And I feel God is saying this morning, I want you to go back and throw the net out on the other side. And I feel for some of you, that dream is actually related to relationships. That you've either pursued a friendship or a relationship with a child or a spouse or even a parent, a mom or a dad. And you've had a dream of really having a good relationship with this person, but it's not worked out. And you've actually said, Lord, I'm closing my heart. I'm protecting my heart. I cannot go through this pain again. But I feel this morning God is saying, I'm releasing the word, and with my word there is grace to go back. So while every eye is closed, if that is you and you're feeling God is saying to go back to a dream, God has stirred you, why don't you just slip up your hand? If you realize, I need to pursue that again, thanks for those hands. If you slipped it up, you can put it down again. And then I feel also that there's in the fear. I feel for some of us, God is calling us to step out of the boat, but it's in the midst of a lot of fear. It's your area of greatest fear. Your biggest fear is to go to those people or to go into that sector. And I feel for some of you, it's maybe even financial. That you're saying, God, I could be wrong, but I feel it's somebody maybe closer to retirement. And you're saying, God, I'm close to retirement. I need to play it safe now. I cannot. You know, when I was 20, we could do risky things with finances, but the wisdom is not to be too risky with all the finances right now. But I feel God is saying that there's an invitation for you to step out of the boat in the area of greatest fear. And God is saying, don't worry about, I'm going to give you the details, and don't worry about the people. I feel that there's somebody here thinking, yes, Lord, but I don't have the people. I don't have the right people. And I feel God is saying, don't worry about the people. I'm sending the right people. I'm sending the right people to make this happen, because I am your partner. I am your partner. If I'm in your boat, if I'm in your plan, in your vision, then I will bring what is needed. So if that is you, if that resonates with you, why don't you just slip up your hand? If you know that you call to step into an area of fear, thanks for those hands. Many hands going up. And then I feel that there's the last one. I feel that there's some of us that God has actually spoken already. And this morning has just been confirmation. God has already spoken to you, and you know that God has called you to step out of that boat, but you've been waiting and saying, God, just give me one more confirmation, just one more fleece that needs to be wet and the ground dry. And I feel God is almost sternly saying to you this morning in a loving voice, you need to give the first step. You need to take that first step and watch me back you up. But I feel God is saying that you've got what it takes. He's almost standing on the sideline cheering you on like a parent with a kid's athletics race. I just see that image. And God is saying, you can run this race. You've got what it takes. I'm going to cheer you on. But you've got to line up and you've got to wait for that gun to fire off. And you've got to give that first step and run that race. And I'm going to cheer you on and I'm going to be there. But in this instance, God is saying, you need to take the first step. Is there anybody that can resonate with that? He said, amen. Many hands. So I'm going to ask you to be really brave. And we're going to pray for people here in front. But before we're going to pray for people, I actually feel if you raised your hand for anything, I feel that there's part of you stepping out of the boat is to actually get up from where you are at, in your seat, and step forward to the front. It's almost like a prophetic action that you're saying, Lord, this morning, I'm taking that first step. I'm getting out and I'm going to partner with you. So if that is you, I want to ask you to be really brave and come to the front. You can come now. If there's anybody else, we're going to worship a song. And I want to invite you, before we're going to have time that we're going to pray for people, but I feel for some of you in front, and I feel that there's maybe still more sitting that needs to be in front, and that's okay. You're welcome to come while we're worshiping. We're all going to worship one song together. But I feel in your heart, if you are in front, or even if you are still sitting, I feel God is saying, just bring that to me. Just bring it to me. Before we pray with people and do other things, I feel God is saying, do business with me. Speak to me. And if you are that person with the disappointment and with the stitches that still needs healing, the word that came out in intercession is to be bold and to say, Jesus, this hurts. You know, he anyway knows it, but we're so forsichtig, we don't want to be honest with him. But I feel God is saying, just be honest with me. Say, Lord, I know that you want me to step out of the boat, but it's really difficult because I've been so hurt. And I'm struggling to believe you again. So if that is you, I want to encourage you to speak to Jesus. If you're in front here now, we're going to worship. The rest of you can stand and we're going to worship one song. Still sitting and you feel, I just need to speak to Jesus. Don't worry about the words. Just speak to him. Just engage him. So you can stand with us. If you feel we want to sit and commune with Jesus, that's totally fine.